Hi, everybody. It's Chris Tripolino, and we're about to dive into this conversation to get to the other side. We're focused on exploring the idea of getting to the other side of the pandemic, but whether you're thinking about politics, business, the environment, or racial justice, it's pretty clear we're in the middle of something. So how do you navigate this uncertain landscape in a way that's about life woven deeply, not just surviving or taking the path of least resistance? Well, that's what these conversations, curated by Different Fabric folks, are meant to help us do together. It's my pleasure for this first one to hand over the microphone to my better half, as she shares a part of her vision for the other side.
Hi, Fabric. I'm Erin Tripolino, and I use she, her pronouns. I live in a triplex in the central neighborhood of Minneapolis with my spouse of nearly 15 years, our three incredible kids, and four other amazing housemates. I'm a social worker turned birth doula, passionate about my journey of anti-racism, and in a place right now of feeling really curious and open as to what the next chapter of my life will look like. You know, the chapter when we get to the other side of this pandemic and life goes back to what? While I'd like to not be bothered about the risk of COVID-19 anymore, I know that getting to the other side of this needs to look completely new. Going back to normal doesn't work for us. Life before COVID wasn't working for the majority of people, especially people not belonging to the dominant culture. It wasn't working for the planet, and if we're truly honest, wasn't really working for any of us. This global pandemic has allowed a unique pause and the opportunity as we move forward to embrace change as we get to the other side. A new side. A side that we create to be better than the one we left. Today, we're going to be listening to the words of Adrian Marie Brown as we start to navigate this unique time of change we're entering into. I've had Adrian's book, Emergent Strategy, on my shelf for the past year, but didn't really dig into it until a week or so after the murder of George Floyd. Since then, I've been devouring the book, resisting the urge to underline every single sentence. Not more than a page goes by that I don't mark up with my own delighted exclamations, curiosities, questions, and sometimes even tears. I'm so excited to highlight Adrian's words and wisdom today and to start some new conversations together as a community. Adrian Marie Brown is a writer, a sci-fi Octavia Butler scholar, an organizational healer, a pleasure activist, a facilitator, a life, love, relationship, work coach, a network weaver, a speaker, singer, and a doula. She is a queer, Black, multiracial lover of life living in Detroit. While I'll be introducing her words and her voice today, I know I will hardly be doing them justice. We'll be linking Adrian's website and podcasts on the episode page of the Fabric website so you can continue to hear and learn more. Let's jump in and start imagining how we're going to get to the other side. Your vision of the other side begins within you. To quote Grace Lee Boggs, mentor and friend of Adrian's, transform yourself to transform the world. Let's listen as Adrian explains what emergent strategy is and shows how changing the world does start with you.
Emergence is a series of small, relatively small interactions and connections that lead to these massive patterns and systems, right? And it's like, how do those patterns arise out of those small interactions? And when you start tuning into that, you realize like, oh, everything large is made up of all these very small interactions, and that actually the world changes through those small interactions. So for us, if we're in movement work and we're trying to create change, how do we start to really tune into the small interactions, the fractal things, the decentralized things that are happening all over the place, and get really curious about those? And then start to act from that place. So
you've called that work science fictional behavior, right? The work that we do is science fictional. Because it's focused on how what we do today shapes the future.
Exactly. And, you know, that really came, like, the book that came out before this, that I worked on before this, was called Octavia's Brood, Science mm-hmm. Fiction from Social Justice Movements, that I did with Walida E. Marisha. And, you know, I think we had that awakening together of, oh, you know, the things that we're trying to do that we call social change, climate change, environmental justice, all of those things are changes that we're looking for something we haven't lived yet. We're seeing something in our minds and saying this is actually how it should be, but we haven't actually experienced it yet. And so as long as we're talking about things we haven't experienced, we're working inside the realm of imagination. We're working inside the realm of, like, based on what is now, we want to project into the future what we could imagine could mm-hmm. be. And then we want to take responsibility for shaping what we think could be, which feels mm-hmm. like, you know, it's all in the lineage of Octavia Butler's work, who was a Black science fiction writer. And her work was really, you know, how do we take the reins off and take the boxes down and start to really work outside of all of what is now to figure out how we need to be?
What we do today, in this moment of beginning to move to the other side, shapes the future. Inspiring, right? But also really hard. Where do we even start? I'm going to highlight three key concepts of Adrian's to help us along the journey of transforming ourselves and shaping what the other side looks like. Number one, tune in. Number two, let go. And number three, direct your energy. Let's start with tune in. If the change starts within us, we must learn to really tune in. Join me while I read Adrian's words on pages 10 to 11 of her book, Emergent Strategy. The Sufi poet Hafiz said, "How do I listen to others? As if everyone were my teacher, speaking to me her cherished last words. I am listening now with all of my senses, as if the whole universe might exist just to teach me more about love. I listen to strangers. I listen to random invitations. I listen to criticisms. I listen to my body. I listen to my creativity and to the artists who inspire me. I listen to elders. I listen to my dreams and the books I'm reading. I notice that the more I pay attention, the more I see order, clear messages, patterns, and invitations in the small or seemingly random things that happen in my life. In all these ways, I meditate on love. This practice lets me connect to that part of myself that is divine, aligned with the universe, and the place within myself where I can be a conduit for spiritual truth. I don't know what else to call it. What comes forth as lessons and realizations and beliefs doesn't feel political or even about organizing. It feels like spirit leading me to truth. Things like, the less I engage in gossip, the less I harbor suspicion, the more space I find within myself for miraculous experiences. Or, when I fear the universe, I fear myself. When I love and am in awe of the universe, I love and am in awe of myself. Imagine then the power when I align with the universe. Or, nothing is required of me more than being and creating. Simultaneously being present with who I am, who we are as a species, and creating who we must become, and within that, who I must become. There is so much good stuff packed into that passage. I've been starting to practice this deep listening and realizing that it is truly going to be a lifelong practice for me. Even becoming aware of how much I need to listen feels like a really big step forward for me. I have been growing in my listening, however, especially in listening to my body, for example. I'm beginning to tune in to when I'm tired and actually resting. I'm beginning to tune in when I have an impulse to eat, and usually only eating when I'm hungry. I'm tuning in to other, often more subtle messages from my body as well. The other day, I needed to make a small, simple decision, and I could feel the turmoil in my body as I struggled with that decision. My gut, my intuition, my body was telling me one thing, but I was leaning away from that. As soon as I chose to listen to my body, I almost felt this release, and I knew I had made the right decision. Can you imagine if I was tuning in more deeply and regularly, not only to my body, but to the precious people in my life, the earth, that third strand I call God? That feels so incredibly powerful to me. I can see that transforming ourselves, especially in this unique time as we create the path of getting to the other side, starts with tuning in and really listening. This listening also helps us to let go, which is our next key concept. There is a lot to let go of right now. In this next clip, Adrienne Marie Brown and her sister Autumn Brown chat as they wrap up a series of podcasts they created during the pandemic and ended with the uprisings in Minneapolis.
Practiced and thought through and planned and, you know, all these things all along the way, but there's some stuff that you only get to practice when you jump off the branch, right? And it's like, now, flap your wings, now figure out how to do this. And it feels like this is one of those moments where a lot more people are like, I'm willing to jump off the branch. I'm at least willing to acknowledge that the tree is on fire.
And the branch is not safe.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I think that's the pivot, you know, that I felt actually as a thread throughout almost every single one of your interviews was people are holding on to a branch on a burning tree and being like, well, how will we guarantee safety if we let go of this? You know, and it's like,
right,
there's no guarantee in any direction. That's not what we're guaranteed safety. What we are guaranteed is that we can be together in this and that we can figure out a way to do this in deeper alignment with our values.
We have an opportunity in history right now to let go of what we've historically clung to in order to transform ourselves and our world and get to a new, better side. What branches are you clinging to? What trees that you thought were sustaining your life might actually be on fire? Maybe you have some big things you need to let go of. Absolutely do it. And today, I encourage us to look at the many small things we are being nudged to let go of as well. I've had the opportunity to practice letting go of a lot of seemingly small things the past few months by being part of a group of mostly white people, gathering to support a group of amazing people who are Black, Indigenous, and people of color, which I'll refer to as BIPOC. In the group I'm in, that's actually supporting the other group, I get to practice stepping back and letting go a lot. We are actually formed around the idea of stepping back, centering BIPOC voices, and supporting the needs they identify. For example, I got to practice letting go of my really great idea for a project. Turns out, it wasn't what the other group needed. I also got to practice letting go of a project that I had already spent time and money on, because my BIPOC colleagues didn't need it anymore. I could have fought for that project to continue, but I was able to let go of my ego and my ideas and some time and money to get to a better place. I continually get to practice listening, letting go of my own opinions, and moving from that new place. These are all a series of small changes and small opportunities to let go, but through them, I get to become a better version of myself, and I'm helping create a better world. Additionally, when we let go, we often get something better in return. By letting go of this proverbial branch of the tree burning with my own ego and ideas, I've received so much in return. The beauty, wisdom, and healing offered to me through members of that other group has been so valuable in my life.
What other things might you need to let go of? Control, certainty, comfort, busyness, and privilege all come to mind for me. I know practicing letting go of control, even in my home and family, is part of a letting go that I need to do that will change the world as we come out on the other side. As we tune in and let go, we can actually stop wasting as much energy on things that don't matter. Listen to how Adrienne writes about that most precious resource of your energy, again, from Emergent Strategy. As an individual, get really good at being intentional with where you put your energy, letting go as quickly as you can of things that aren't part of your visionary life's work. Then you can give from your all, from a well-resourced place, when the storm comes, or for those last crucial miles. I'm calling this concept directing your energy. This passage simultaneously gives me so much inspiration and provides a freakout moment for me. How am I supposed to know what my visionary life's work is? Once again, let's pause, slow down, and remember to go small here. Maybe you or I don't have a clear visionary's life work. Maybe you do, but I certainly don't always have that. But I would venture to say that the pandemic and uprisings provide opportunities for us to start thinking and clarifying what really matters to us. This might include really big things for you, and it might be a series of smaller things. Let me share a recent small example of directing my energy. I typically meet with my clients to help them prepare for their births during times of the day when they are not working. That means I end up working a lot of evening and weekend hours. Thinking about coming out on the other side of this pandemic, I realized I needed to let go of working both Saturday and Sunday every weekend. By working so much on weekends, I couldn't fulfill the vision of my life when it comes to being the kind of mom or partner I want to be. So I made a small change in my scheduling calendar and directed my energy in another way. Similarly, I am taking a pause right now to really consider if I should go back to working on-call shifts as a doula at Hennepin Health. There are lots of pros and cons for me with this job, so it's feeling like a really hard decision. However, I'm really grateful to have this framework from Adrienne Marie Brown. I'm going to use my tuning in skills, consider if I'm clinging to any branches, and ask if being part of that program is part of my life's visionary work right now. I'm also really grateful for the pause that the pandemic has created to give me the space to do that work and deep listening. I get to choose how to move forward from this place. I want to point out one more important aspect of this quote. Adrienne says, "Then you can give your all from a well-resourced place." To me, this speaks to the other side of directing our energy as well. If I always direct my energy towards doing and acting, I become exhausted. I can give my all for a time, but I will not be able to sustain it. If I focus on becoming well-resourced, however, that is a different story. I've had some amazing teachers in the past year, including Rachel Martin, Amy Heilman, Kate Stillman, Resma Minikim, my housemates, Allison Tasler, Ihotu Ali, and now Adrienne Marie Brown, who have all taught me that taking care of myself and my body is essential to carrying out the work that is important to me. It was Ihotu who reminded me a few days after George Floyd's murder that rest was vital. She reminded me that gardening, caring for others, praying, laughter, and naps are what allows us to keep doing the work. When I prioritize directing my energy towards rest, I do things like eat nourishing food, set aside time for prayer and meditation, I go to bed early, I hydrate really well, I create opportunities to connect with nature, I play and have fun. Then from that place, I can give my all to the work I'm compelled to do to help us get to the other side. It's not an either or. We must be active, but we must build in rest to sustain us. The last piece I want to highlight is the three-stranded nature of all of this. If you've been around fabric very much, you probably could pick up on a lot of the three-strandedness in Adrienne's words. But let's listen one more time to what she and Autumn talk about after they give us that visual of letting go of the branch in a burning tree.
I'm grateful for the through lines, right? Like the through lines of like, you can do these things yourself, and that all of us have indigenous roots. If you keep reaching back far enough, there's roots of when our peoples were connected to a place, even if we don't have that in this moment. And if we can keep reaching back and listening, it's like we actually remember and know, and like we don't know what's been braided into us, but there's knowing about how to care for each other and how to be in relationship to land and how to feed each other and how to survive and how to be stealthy and how to play. Like, it's woven into us.
Yes, transforming the world starts with you. Getting to the other side starts with you. But it is not just you. We are so deeply woven with others and with God, and all of this work happens best when we are in community. When we tune in, we are listening not only to ourselves and our bodies, but so deeply to the others around us, to the planet, and to the third strand. It is the same with letting go. It is really hard to let go of the branches that keep us comfortable and perceivably safe. But when we let go in community, we have others who can help us as we land. And as we choose how to direct our energy, it changes how we show up for others, ourselves, and God, this third strand that is woven into us. We get to start imagining the other side, and we must. Your creativity, your imagination now helps start the course of where we're going as humanity. What you practice on the small scale in your daily decisions, your home, your families, your school or workplace, your book clubs and boards and organizations, that all sets patterns for the whole system. What you imagine and create as we move to the other side can truly change both your life and the world. Start small. Transform yourself so you can transform the world.
Thanks for being part of this conversation. We hope you'll share it with others in your life. You can find ways to connect with us, ways to support the work Fabric is doing, and resources for conversations and for your own reflection at fabricmpls.com.